Huh?
Leave me alone.
His ever-loving mind has left him. I love it. Hey, here's why they call him grand. Would you listen to me just for a moment? Not picking on you, trying to be mean. I was sitting there, and I'm in a different church every week of my life, all practically. And I thought, I know of churches that would give anything to have a piano player like Brother David Yandel. And an organist. Was that not good?
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Was that not good?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Brother David. And I listened to them as they play. That's a blessing.
Amen.
Shoot. That ought to get you stirred up, amen. More than UK basketball.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Or fishing. Or golfing. I love to laugh, Larry, better than any human you ever seen in your life. I'd rather laugh. Boy, you ought to have been with us tonight at supper. That'll come out on the radio broadcast somewhere. About being offered a horse.
Yeah.
His daddy told me that he offered Miss Teresa going to get her a racehorse.
Yeah.
See, he thought he never would leave home. He calls her Precious. Where's he at? That's what he said. He said he called her Precious for taking Larry off. I'll go up the road laughing over that. But let me tell you what, I'd rather laugh, honestly. I've been golfing one time in my life. I'm just not a golfer. I'm just not a golfer. Now, I like to hit that long ball. My idea of playing golf is you stand here, I'll stand over there, and I'll knock it to you, and you knock it back to me. These guys talked me into going to golfing. I said, okay, whole bunch of us. We take off and go golfing. I am the most observant human that you ever seen in your life. I'm always watching my surroundings. I know what's going on around me. So we're up here. He knows what I'm talking about. And they're getting ready to tee off. You know they do all this stuff. I don't know why they do all that, but they do it all. So anyway, they go through all this stuff. And I see him make that swing. And he misses the ball. Well, he does it again. Now, I done seen him. He falls down on his knees, and he takes that expensive titanium club, and he's beating that green. Look, he's beating that green. He don't want me to have eye contact, but I done seen him. He looked at me, Brother Lawrence, and a few minutes I heard this. It sounded like a helicopter. He throwed that thing as far as he could throw it, and it went in the pond. Now then, I watch him. He pulls up his pant legs. And I fell down the floor and laughed. Every time we'd come to one green, he'd avoid eye contact with me. He didn't want to see me. Ain't nothing tickle, y'all. I was thinking about Brother Larry. I'll preach a minute. He come in tonight. And his wife says he's always lying. You can't tell when he's telling the truth. I'm just telling you what they was talking about. So they was talking about him getting stopped by the policeman. And so Brother Lawrence said, is he getting a ticket? That was the conversation, wasn't it, Miss T? That was the conversation. So when he come back, he sat down, and he said he talked him out of it. I just listened to every word he was saying. I thought the man was telling the truth. I thought he talked that state trooper out of the ticket. Look at him, everybody's shaking their head. No. Come to find out, it wasn't a word of it truth. Ain't that pitiful? But I was thinking about him. One night I was a preaching over in Corbin, Kentucky. Big old church. And he's on a... Y'all still have a watch night service? Everyone's... So I preached that night. Everybody knows what a watch night service is. So I went over and preached, and Corbin's an hour from my house. So I got done preaching. They had refreshments, so it had to be at least 1:30 in the morning. I'm headed home. And you know as well as I do that on that December the 31st, you got a lot of drunks out on the highway, so they put all these extra cops out. Okay, I'm going down through there. There was no traffic on 80 at all, Brother Noble. No traffic at all. I reached down to push scan on my radio. God is my witness to push scan. I was listening to our radio station, and all of a sudden these blue lights come on, and this guy pulled me over. I looked in my mirror. Now, I know a little bit. Hey, watch this. You don't fool these guys this night. So I'm looking through my rearview mirror. I roll my window down, and the biggest man I ever seen in my life unfolds and gets out of that car. He gets out of that car and walks up there and got his hand on his gun. And you know how he stands back here and looking through the window, and he says, "May I see your driver's license?" I done had him out. He said, "Do you know you're speeding?" I said, "Yes, sir." He calmed down. He said, "May I ask where you going this late of a night?" I said, "I'm going to Somerset." "Where have you been out this late of a night?" I said, "Well, I've been preaching." He said, "You've been doing what?" I said, "We've been to a watch night service." And he said, "Watch night service?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "It's where you pray the old year out, pray the new year in." So they sort of calmed down. So I'm out of the car by now. I'm standing there. He's got my driver's license. I'm hoping and praying he'll let me go. And he's got my driver's license. Big man. I mean, gigantic man. Big old man. Big old man. And he said, "You know what I think I'll do?" He said, "I think I'll let you go." And I'm instinctively fast. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. But I put the hug on him. So I grabbed him. He stood there like a board. He ain't never had a hug put on him. I'm telling you the truth, he just stood there like a board. Put the hug on him. Got in my car. Got my driver's license. And I was take off down the road, girls, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Now, the law said that I would have had a ticket, and I deserved a ticket because I was speeding. The man was there. But the man said, "I'm going to let you go." Y'all will get that by the time y'all get to the house. The law said I was guilty, I ought to get a ticket, but grace let me go free, Paul. Now watch this. I want you to listen to this. So I was telling that up at Georgetown. This ain't all this story. Y'all ain't no hurry, are you? So I was telling how that this man let me go. And I noticed this man sitting back there, dignified-looking man, had one of them Marine haircuts. You know what I'm talking about, Marine haircut. Son, had this wife and three kids, three teenage kids. I didn't know who he was from Adam. Man, I preached like a wild man. And I was telling them how that story, that man let me go. And I noticed that his demeanor changed, this man that I was talking about. So I got done preaching, gave the invitation. He was the first one, ran to the altar. The preacher won him to Christ. I looked up and here come his wife and his teenage daughters. They got saved. Man, did we have a ball. I mean, son, hey, look, you won't see me come alive, just let people get saved. Now that thrills me, boy. That Marine haircut. So after the service is over, they introduced me to him. They said, "This is Brother Mike." And I said, "Good to meet you, sir." "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glad you got saved." He said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" I said, "No, sir. I don't know who you are." He said, "I'm the commander of the Highway State Patrol in Dry Ridge, Kentucky." I put the hug on him. I said, "Man, you're a good man to know." He took a step back and he says, "No, the man I just met is a good man to know."
Amen.
Had me another spell, amen. Ain't that a blessing? And look up here. He's still in church, got his kids in church, they all been baptized. And you ain't going to believe this. As a result of him getting saved, 10 others have got saved. I said, "You're a good man to know." He said, "No, the man I just met's a good man to know." Ain't that a blessing? Y'all wouldn't smile for nothing. I'm going to send you back to Wales. On a slow boat to China, VIA. I appreciate you folks with all my heart. I do. I love these young ladies. All I did was this. They went right over there in their seat tonight. Boy, I appreciate them. I mean that. I love y'all school. I love you kids. They're just super kids. I love them. And I appreciate them being so attentive. And I'm just honored. I appreciate the privilege of getting to come preach for grace. And glad for those that come from Brother Dawson's praying, Brother Donnie. I appreciate you folks coming. God knows you could be anywhere other than listening to me. Here! Oh, go on, man. I'll get him back. Don't worry. I'll get him. I'll take care of him. In fact, I think Miss Kathy is having the out-of-the-body experience when she buried him. Either on something. Book of Luke tonight, please. Luke chapter 15. Find your place. Luke 15. Now, I've got to go home tonight, Lord willing. I don't have to, but I've got to go. Supposed to be in outside of Roanoke, Virginia, Sunday morning. Go pick up my wife, and she and I will head off to a little place called Salem, Virginia. That's called the City of Peace. It's right outside of Roanoke. And then I come back home, then I take off to Rockingham, North Carolina, and preach for Freedom Baptist Church there in Rockingham. Let me share this with you to show you that God's able to do abundantly above all we ask or think. Do y'all believe that? That God's able to do abundantly above all we ask or think. This preacher that I'm going to be with in Rockingham, he's a Greek. His name is Parakas. And I'd love for y'all to meet him. I'd love for y'all to get him to come to your camp meeting. Alex Parakas. He was meeting in a storefront building about a few years ago. Building was full of people, just a little storefront building. Helped him get his pews. He cleaned it up, started knocking on doors, winning people to the Lord. And from there, he needed a building, so they bought 15 acres of land, prime land, almost practically give it to them. Then they needed a building. So we all got together. This is all within a couple of years, and so we all went down to help him. They got their floor poured 50 feet wide and 150 feet long. And it's two stories, and he's going to have an educational building. So we went down and helped him get his building done. And from there, the first Sunday that they met, you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. It's one of the most phenomenal things I've ever heard in my life. Can you believe they've now had to go to two services? He can't get them all in on Sunday morning. Now he don't know what to do. He don't know how to enlarge his building. I said, son, that's a good problem to have. Ain't that a blessing? You just don't hear that very often. I mean, every Sunday morning, they can't get them in the building. Full of young people and young married couples. That thrills me when I see God work. And it's not because of one individual. It's just God working in their midst, amen. We all want it to happen, but most of us don't want to pay the price for it to do happen. Luke, please, chapter 15. We're going to start reading, if you would, in verses 17. Luke 15, verse 17. Now I know what's going through your mind. Oh, this is going to be one of them. Look at Luke 15. Look in your Bible. And when he came to himself, that is the prodigal, and I agree with I say this with all due respect. Brother, we need to come to ourselves. Our churches, our homes, everything, we need to come to ourselves, amen. Watch this. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now you need to picture this in your mind. See him, how he goes down. Look at as he goes down into the far country. Now look at him as he comes up out of there. The Bible says he arose and he came to the Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him. Now we all use in typology, we say, well, we find the Son and we find the God, the Father. Yes, I agree. I'm not going to be argumentative that the Father is a type of God, the Father, in this chapter. He is, amen. And if you believe that, and I do believe that, this is the only time that you'll ever see the Father running. Look in your Bible. And when he saw was a great way off, his Father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How you like that? Thank God. I mean, the Father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what the book says. Now watch this. And then he says in verse 21, the Son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, now watch this, bring forth the best robe, put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now what I want you to see tonight, if we all agree that in Luke 15, that the Father ran and fell on the neck of this young man, notice in your Bible, one, the Bible says the Father saw him. He saw who it was. He saw where he came from. He saw where he had been, saw his clothes. He saw what he was, but thank God he saw what he was going to be. Now, the boy still got the stench of hogs on him. Amen. Now, watch this. It plainly says in verses 22, the Father said to his servants, S-E-R-V-A-N-T-S. He said to the servants, now watch this, bring forth the what? Would y'all say it back to me? Bring forth the best robe. So evidently, there must have been more robes than just the best robe. If y'all don't say amen, we're going to be here a long time. I heard that. Now the amens are picking up. So evidently, He told the servant, look in your Bible, he says, bring the best robe. Not just a robe, but bring the best robe and put it on that boy.
Amen.
Go to Isaiah with me, chapter 61, just for a moment. Everybody get there right fast. Turn and look in your Bible. Look in Isaiah chapter 61, please. Just look right fast. Look, please. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Look in Isaiah chapter 61, and let's read together in verses 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments, G-A-R-M-E-N-T-S, the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride that adorneth herself with jewels. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. Notice in your Bible, it says, God, He hath, H-A-T-H, he hath done what? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. So you see tonight, when you look at Jay Clark, when you look at him, how many years have you been saved, Brother Jay? 43 years. Listen to this. I don't understand everything that transpired the night I got saved. I'll guarantee you he didn't either 43 years ago. But did you know the night or day that we received Christ, did you know that God covered us? Did you know that God put a garment about us? Hallelujah, thank God. What do you mean, preacher? And I believe this, and I'll show it to you in a moment. He says, bring forth the best robe. The best robe. We know that according to the book of Genesis, we know that when Adam and Eve transgressed against God, we know their fig leaves was not the proper covering. We know that they made fig leaves and covered themselves. Am I right? They probably remember Genesis. But we remember that the Bible says that God made coats of skins and clothed them. Coats, C-O-A-T-S, coats and clothed them. So an innocent animal had to die in order that they could be covered. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 that the lambs are for thy clothing. An innocent animal died that they could be covered. Oh, I go back in my mind and I think, thank God, hey, there's a day that my Savior left the Father's side and condescended and came to this benign world to do what? That I could have the best that God has, the best robe, the best covering, amen. I go into churches and people are so dead, so dried up, plucked up, they can't stay revived from one service to the next. Hello, Mars. You know as well as I do, boy, some people, they're leaky vessels. Hey, we ought to be the happiest, jubilant people that ever drawed a breath. We ought to look forward to coming to the house of God. We ought to look forward to visiting. We ought to look forward to telling people about what Christ done for us. We ought to look forward to hearing the songs of Zion. Amen. Not just because some preacher's here, but why? Because God's here. Amen. And when you realize what He's done for you, listen to me. What I want to leave tonight with you is this thought in my mind. I want everybody in this building, I want you to grasp this, especially these young people. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Notice back in Luke 15, He brought the best robe that He had and put it on that young man. I begin to put it in my mind. There's a man by the name of John Kay in Lancashire, England. He invented what they call the flying shuttle. He died a pauper. Listen to this. God made Adam and Eve those coats of skins and linen cloth dates all the way back to the time of Egypt. And cotton came from India and Peru. And then you have polyester. And then silk came from China. And wool came from France. England became the famous as the textile inventors of the world. The apparel industry of the United States, we spend $17 billion annually every year for clothing. Men spent $50 billion. Listen to this. Women spent $95 million. Children spent some $29 million. Most of our clothes, we come from Korea, Guatemala, Philippines, and China or Japan or Vietnam. Henry Ward Beecher said this, we sleep, but the loom of life never stops. And the pattern which we was weaving when we went to sleep went down. Watch it. He says it's still weaving in the morning when we rise up. Have you ever thought about it? People look at you and I. They ought to see something different in our lives. If we say we're saved by the grace of God, you say, I'm going to heaven, not hope so, not guess so, not maybe so, but I'm a-going. Then we ought to show to a world that we got something, boy, they need bad. Y'all see my suit I got on? A man came up and he said, Brother Sisson, he said, my father-in-law died. He said, I told Miss Cormie, his wife, he said, you know, I believe Brother Sisson can wear them clothes. This is one of them. He pulled up in my driveway, and I thought he was going to bring me two or three suits and some clothes and whatever. He brought me a pickup truckload. I mean literally a pickup truck load of clothes. I mean some of them clothes, boy, hey, I mean I preach so much and sweat so much, but my point is watch this. Boy, when he gave me, this suit has never been, it's never been touched, it's never been touched. The hem has never been hemmed, the coat's never been altered. Hey, thank God. I begin to put it in my mind. Hey, the garment that God puts on us, it's a tailor-made garment. Thank God. It fits every old drunk, every hearted, every rebel, every renegade. If they'll come, God will make a tailor-made garment just fit them. Amen. Amen. Me and my wife, we was down in Florida, and we was going down through a Walmart. Yeah, of course. My wife said, I'm going over to the lingerie or wherever she's going. I said, okay, I'm going to where there's nuts and batteries and bolts and tires. And that's a man thing. So anyway, I got tired of looking for her, and so I sat down over there, and I thought, she'll eventually come back by. Y'all do know that, don't you? Am I helping you, Larry? He ain't never been to Walmart in his life, not with you. I'm telling you. Watch this. And I sit there and I thought, well, where is she at? So I get up and I think, well, I'll go over there and I'll find her. So I've done been down through the truth. And now here's how I go to Walmart. Here's what I do. When I get to looking for my wife, I'll stop at an aisle and wait a minute. I'll move up to another one. I don't like running all over Walmart looking for my wife. So anyway, I go over there. And there's my wife standing at this legs, L-E-G-G, apostrophe S. And it's pantyhose. And she's got a little pair of them out holding them up. And I said, honey, I don't think so. And it said, one size fits all. Look at them. All these women are nodding their head. I told my wife, I said, that is not going to work. Now, you don't do that. But the point I want you to see is that little sign that said, one size fits all. The garment that I'm talking about, when God covers you, that tailor-made garment, it fits all of us. Hallelujah, thank God. And it's the best God has. Look at Luke 15. It is the best God has, amen. I've never had no Armani suit. Don't want one. Dumbest thing I've ever heard in all my life. If somebody brags about wearing a $500 suit, that's dumb as a box of rocks. Backing up. I'd rather have five suits that cost $100 a piece as to have one that costs $500. But to go around bragging and saying, my suit is an Armani. My suit is made in Greece or Italy. Well, whoop-de-doo. I mean, I know of guys that brag about that kind of stuff. No disrespect. I know of young girls and young men. I know y'all don't believe this. They will not wear Walmart. They don't want to wear stuff that comes from the Gap? Yet y'all order the Gap? Young people, they like to go to the Gap or to the mall and shop. Say amen. Have you ever had a tailor-made clothes? No, sir. Anybody ever had any tailor-made suits? Anybody? Hi, anybody here at all? Dr. Houghton, have you had one? You, who? Oh, Mr. Contract Man. Y'all need to hear this story. Do you know how they fit you for a suit? Now, I've never had one fitted, but you can ask him out of services. The length of this thing here, they want your shirt to be out so much like this. And you want to be able to cuff this when you do that. And they want your pants a certain way. And they want the coat to hang a certain way. So they hang a real expensive suit on a 99-cent body. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? Some's worth less than others. But I'm just saying, look here, hey! I'm trying to get you to see the clothing that we have. The garment that God gives us is a tailor-made garment. Amen. Amen. Go back to Luke 15. Let's keep your finger in Isaiah and I'll show you something in just a moment. Look, if you would, in Luke, please, chapter 15. Have you ever just thought about it? Not only is this garment, is it not only tailor-made? Secondly, the garment that I'm talking about is stain-resistant. Hey, look up here, Noble. You want to get one, Kathy. You want to get some points with Kathy. I was out in revival meeting. And so I was up in a little place in Williamsburg, Ohio. And they told me about this, what's this thing that goes on your table? You'll know what it is. Table spread? No. Tablecloth. Okay. I was having a senior moment. So they told me about this. They said, you need to go over there. And we was eating with these people. And I mean, they had a nice home. Nice home. And we ate. And I try not to be sloppy and spill things. But anyway, the preacher that I was with, God bless his heart, he knocked a cup of coffee over. I mean, it was one of these beautiful tablecloths, ivory-looking thing. Boy, I mean a good-looking thing. You ought to have seen that table. Well, he knocked that coffee, and that coffee went everywhere. She says, it's all right. We all jumped up like this. All she did was lay the cloth down, and God is my witness, it soaked up every bit of that coffee. And where that it soaked it all up, there was not a stain one. I said, I got to get my wife one of it. Yeah, well, you might want to listen to this. Turn your hearing aid up a little. So I went and bought her one of them tablecloths that's stain-proof. Didn't cost that much money, $30-some dollars, I think it was. I gave it to my wife, and boy, she's a happy camper. She said, I'd rather have a diamond, but I said, you ain't getting no diamond. You'd have to settle with a tablecloth. My point is that little tribe of mine that comes in at Christmas, that little tribe that I've got. Boy, I put that stain-resistant tablecloth. Whop! I laid it on that table. Boy, they all come in there, and I wish you could see them. All them grand youngins, boy, we was having us a ball. I couldn't wait to show them our stain-resistant tablecloth. Not a one of them made a mess. I wanted to send them all home. I thought sure one of them would turn over something. But my whole point is they've got cloth at now that's stain resistant. I said, Brother Yandel, thank God you may not be able to see it on me. I'm telling you that the garment that I have is tailor-made. The garment that I have is a stain-resistant garment, amen. Hallelujah. Boy, y'all look like y'all taking a dose of castor oil. I'll tell you another thing my garment is. Did you know it's flame retardant? You was doing pretty good a while ago. Help me there, Jay. The garment is flame retardant. He got it. He showed them guys over them oil workers. Here is Mr. Worker 2008. 43 years, he climbs the steps, falls back down the steps. You know what I'm talking about. Listen to this. Did you know that in the oil fields, did you know they got a garment? I don't understand this thing. NASA made it. NASA, the astronauts. They can take the garment, and I mean it can be a cutting torch is what, 21, 2200 degrees? Help me out, Mr. 2008 worker. Okay. It's something like 2100 degrees before it melts steel. Am I right, Larry? Oh, I can't ask you nothing anymore, can I? Oh, I forgot. Now watch this. But the garment that I'm talking about, they've got this blanket. God is my witness. They can lay flat down. And these guys are nodding their head. And they can cover themselves up with this garment. And can you believe that heat will not penetrate that garment? I said, hallelujah. Not only is my garment stain resistant, but my garment, thank God, is flame retardant. Every now and then, Teresa, somebody say, go to hell. I said, I ain't going.
Amen.
Y'all are slow.
Amen.
When you realize and understand, Paul, did you get it? Did you understand? The moment you got saved, God put a garment about you. Yes, amen.
Amen.
And watch this. It's a stain-resistant garment. The garment, it fits all of us, thank God. Hey, it's tailor-made for you, amen.
Amen.
And it's a flame-retardant garment. Y'all don't never get happy over nothing. Isaiah says, He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. One, it covers our shame. Two, it covers our sin. Thirdly, it covers the stain. What do you mean, preacher? When I was a boy, it ain't like it is now. Now, Larry never did get caught, but I'll guarantee you his daddy knows some stuff on him. I'd have loved to have seen Noble Crowley when he was about 10. I bet he was a terror. in school. Watch this. You guys stop your ears up. You don't need to hear this. When I was a boy, my school teacher would say, go to that board and write 500 times, I will not talk in class or whatever. Do y'all remember that? Do you? Sad to say, Larry does. Very reluctantly, but he does. And you wait for the bell to ring and the teacher would say, go erase that board. You get that old dusty eraser, Sister Michael, watch. And you get that old dusty eraser and you bang that thing against the wall, dust flies everywhere. And you go over there and you just do this. Oh, you try to erase it. You step back and there's all still there. Then you say, wet that eraser. What, are y'all ready? Look, that old brother, he knows what I'm. And watch it. And then you do this. And then you step back and guess what? It's all gone. Now, you may remember my past, but God doesn't. Hey, my past is erased, thank God. There's nothing there. I get so tired of everybody bringing my past up. Everywhere I go, I meet somebody. Here I'm back, I was holding a revival meeting over to Sunrise Baptist. Here they all come from Crab Orchard. Population 750. Didn't even take the population sign down when I left. Only had one red light and we shot it out. Never did put it back up. I'm telling you the truth. They come over where I was at. Are you Melvin Sisson? Yeah. You that one that lived in Crab Orchard? Yeah. Was you? And they start this stuff. 43 years of my life, and that's all they ever remember. That's all they remember. My school teacher, she's way up in years, come to Mrs. Armstrong. She's the first one that wore a paddle out on me. Oh, Lord, did that hurt. I can remember that like it's yesterday. In fact, I'm rubbing the wounds. Boy, she wore me slap out. And I tell you, she came on, she said, I can't believe you made a preacher. I said, I didn't. She said, you are a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did you go to school? I said, no. Why didn't you? I said, you cripple me when you want me. No, I didn't. What did? She come and heard me preach. I wanted to get even with her anyway. You just don't know how hard she whooped me. But they always remember my past. The Hebrew letter says in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Let's go back to Luke 15. Ready? I want everybody to see this. Look in your Bible. Luke 15. Everybody get a real good grip on your seat. What do you mean? Have you ever thought about it? It says bring the best robe. We don't give God our best. I believe we try to. I believe some people in their life, over a long period of time, they mature to a level to where they want to give God their best. They want to give God their best. But there's areas in our life that we just say, it's off limits. Amen. But it says here that God says, bring forth the best robe. Now, how many of y'all see this? Watch this. The boy didn't do anything. The servants put the robe on him. Did y'all get that? Have you ever thought about why it's the best robe? Because of its cost. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Jesus stepped out of heaven, condescended to mine and your level. He became a servant. The shame of Calvary. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? The stains, the beating, the bruising, the blood that was shed. I mean, hey, God gave his very best, amen, for you and I. Amen. I believe we ought to give our very best. I believe that with all my heart. I believe y'all just give it all you got. Say amen. Amen. Why is it the best robe, Brother Sisson? Because of its cost, amen. Secondly, because of its comfort. What do you mean that, Brother Sisson? I mean you get peace of mind. You have peace with God. This world is in such turmoil. Boy, anybody outside me, have you ever preacher cannot relate to what I'm fixing to tell you. When you preach every day of your life, your neck swells. Hello. Does yours do that? Huh? Yeah. Get in it. Yeah. When you preach every day of your life, your neck swells. So I wear a 17 shirt. Now listen to this. There's nothing any more uncomfortable in the world than a garment that doesn't fit you. Say amen right there, ladies. But have you ever thought about the best robe? Not only because of its cost, I enjoy being saved. Boy, I bless the name of God. Peace of mind. Hallelujah. Name wrote down the line. Why shouldn't I have peace with God? Boy, if you ever get a hold of that, brother, you have no problem coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not only because of its cost, not only because of its comfort. Let me show you this one. Because of its covering. What do you mean? Did you know it's long enough to cover my past? Y'all need to get a hold of this. Now, I know people they'll say, well, yes, but I know what you've done back there. Yes, but hey, look here. The moment you get saved, God erases your past. See, that's what, hey, Paul, I've done things, dear God, Brother Noble, my wife and I have been married 44 years. She's the best friend I've got up on this planet, is my wife. There's things, I guess she and I are closer than any two humans up on this earth, she and I. There's things that we share that we don't share with everybody else. But there's things that I have done that I've never told my wife, nor will I ever tell her. Is it getting quiet then? Some of y'all said, well, I wonder what he's done. There's things that I have done, involved in, before I got saved that I don't want nobody to know about. Yeah. Boy, I jump up and down and say, hallelujah, bless the name of God. Hey, the garment that I'm talking about, it covers our past, amen. Amen. I've seen God save drunks and harlots and thieves. I've seen God save about every class you can think of. Had a young girl, never forget her. Now see, some of y'all leave one with this, and I'm going to take a quarter of a baby ass and worry about it. This young girl I'm fixing to tell you about, she's probably in her middle 20s. She came to the altar one night, and these bunch of Pharisees in that church. She came to church, and she came to the altar, and not one woman went to her, not one person went and prayed with her, not anybody, not the preacher, not anybody. I got down beside her, and I said, can I help you? She says, if you knew what all that I have done, she said, you wouldn't even put your hand on my shoulder. I said, dear lady, there's one already put his hand on you. I said, there's one already laid his hand on you. Watch this. And I know, understand there's consequences to our deeds. I understand that. Would y'all say amen? I understand all that. But I'm saying that young woman that night, and by the way, I don't mind telling you, she even told me, she says, I need to tell somebody this. She says, I've lived with this guilt long enough. She says, I want peace with God. I can't live with what I've done. She says, I killed my own baby. Now, that's hard to believe that people could go to that low and take their baby's life. But she had had an abortion. See, now some of y'all, look, I knew that's what y'all do. That's a terrible thing. Say amen. In fact, I was down in Alabama. And I don't understand some of this stuff. I swear I don't. I don't understand. Sometimes I get angry at it. And that night, the building was filled with people. I mean literally filled with people. I seen this man and woman come in. I shook hands with them. I was nice to them. He had a pair of them motorcycle boots on. Brother Tom, you know what I'm talking about? Them square toes, you know, that motorcycle boots. Motorcyclists in years gone by used to wear them square-toed boots. And he had chains all over him. And God is my witness, that woman didn't have enough clothes on. You could wad a 410 shotgun shell. I'm just being honest with you. She came in and they sat down on the back there. Didn't bother nobody. And that preacher, he went to that pulpit and I'm telling you, forked fire come out of his eyes. He was so angry and so mad. He made it evident, brother. Hey, look, he might as well just call their names. Now you look at me for a moment. We ought to thank God they did come. But I know what his problem is. He is embarrassed because there's about 10 or 11 preachers there, and they probably thought, well, they're members of my church. So he's real embarrassed. Okay, listen to this. Got done preaching. Then nothing happened. Nothing. I mean, son, that church was dead as a hammer after that preacher got done. I got up there and tried to preach. You'll get that in a minute. Tried to preach. Say words. Meeting was over. I went and changed my shirt. The preacher's wife said, Brother Sisson, come over. We got coconut pie and coffee. Now, trust me, I know when people are mad. I didn't want to go over there. I went over there, and somehow or another, she knew I was outside. She said, Preacher Sisson, get in here. Lord, help us. I didn't know what to do, so I went. I went in there, and she said, they sat at the table. He's sitting there, the preacher. She says, tell him that he's wrong. The preacher's wife's telling me to tell him he's wrong. I said, preacher, you're wrong. Let's eat. He was so upset because that man and woman was there in the services that night. He made a spectacle of himself. Hey, give me all of your old drunken harlot. Give me all. Say amen right there. Hey, you get them to come. Now listen to me. Hey, you get them saved by the grace of God. God will change them from inside to outside. Amen. They can sing Amazing Grace. But our church has got so pharisaical. You know I'm telling you the truth. How'd y'all like to have all y'all... Larry. Walk softly, Melvin. Forget, Brother Larry. How would you like for all of our lives to be an instant replay right here? Just the thoughts y'all thought today. Hello. And then we got the idea. Now, I'm covered with a garment. Thank God. Hallelujah. One, because it's the best robe because of its cost. Number two, because of its comfort. Number three, because of its covering. One size fits all. Long enough to cover our past. Forgiven, thank God. Hey, guilt's gone. Fixing a family. Hallelujah, thank God. If it ever gets a hold of you, you may act worse than I do. Watch this. Then it's large enough just to be comfortable in. Thirdly, it's lasting enough to carry you and I home. How many of y'all remember what Jesus was wrapped in when he was born? What? It says she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which was death clothes. Sister Helton, we know that there was linen cloth in the tombs of Egypt. We know that. Cloth is a commodity. When we think about it, we don't. Can you imagine them hand looming and hand making a death shroud? How about the garment that Jesus had on that was woven without seam? How about when they took and gambled for his very garments? Cloth would have been a commodity. But yet the Bible says here in Luke 15, he says, bring forth the best robe. So evidently in that closet was other robes other than the best robe. But the Father said, bring the best robe and put it on this boy. Ought to run a while. Been a long time since y'all seen a 62-year-old man take off running, ain't it? But I'm saying, he says, bring the best robe, and look in your Bible, and says, put it on him. He didn't do anything. Just stood there and they put the robe on him. Boy, is that not wonderful? Not only is it stain resistant, not only is it flame retardant, but thank God, hallelujah, it's tailor fit. Now y'all got to get this, that best robe, whenever that, and he says put robe, put shoes on his feet, look at your Bible, ring on his hand. The robe, what I want to signify is the robe. Everybody that's seen that boy immediately there with that robe on knew that that was that father's son. Did he deserve that? No. Man, he went to the far country and wasted it, and the Bible says he wasted his substance on harlots. The Father, look in your Bible, that's what, it's a perfect picture of what the Lord does for us. He hath clothed us with the garments of salvation. Amen. You'd think we'd be the happiest people in the world. Wouldn't you? Anybody ever? How many of y'all ever been given anything? I got my little golf ball man. I like him. So I don't know what that little golf ball man's name is, but I like him. Little hat sideways, his tongue running out. What I'm saying is watch this. Listen to me. That God gave that you and I could be clothed with a garment.
Amen.
Boy, hey. I don't know how to express myself except say that he gave the very best. He gave the best robe. Could I ask y'all a question before I wind this thing down? Whatever happened to the robe, the scarlet robe that Jesus wore? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the garment that was woven without seam? My point is he said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Some of you won't stay revived up to Sunday. But you will if you realize what it did, what God done for you, and what it cost God that you could have the best robe.
Amen.
Do you ever just thank God? Anybody outside of me when you was kids growing up, do you ever get hand-me-downs? Hey, we was glad to get them. Yeah. See, y'all won't even be honest. Man, I was glad them cousins that lived up there in Ohio and grew them clothes. I always wanted a button-down collar. I mean, I wanted me a button-down collar so bad. And I never will forget. Man worked in hay fields, $4 a day. Bought me a button-down collar shirt. I never will forget that. Had Levi's on. Had patches all over them. Shoes wouldn't fit. But boy, when you look at us now, in the eyes of God, spiritually, the garments that God puts on us, son, they fit. Amen. They're not hand-me-downs either, son. Thank God, he says, bring the best robe and put it on. Amen. I want us to stand, bow our heads and close our eyes. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment. Not only is there a scarlet robe in the Bible, not only is there a long robe in the Bible, not only is there the best robe in the Bible, there's a white robe in the Bible, then there's a clean robe in the Bible, then there's a red robe. Now here's what I want to do with our heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking. And you'd say, Brother Sisson, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know that I've been clothed with that garment that you've been talking about. Would you raise your hand if you know that? If you know that. Now could I ask you, how many of you would at least come and thank him? Would you do that? Would you just get out of your seat tonight and come and say, God, thank you, Lord, that I know that it cost God, I know it cost you your son. You bypass the cherubims and the angels. A real revival stirs us to where we're just thankful and grateful people. Boy, you ought to be glad your home's not tore all to pieces. You ought to be glad, thank God, you got a good church and you got a good preacher. And you ought to step around and raise both hands and say, God, blessed be the name of God for the best robe. God, clothe me and cover my shame and cover my sin. What sin are you talking about? While these are coming, thank God. Oh, you'd say, Brother Sisson, he says, bring the best robe and put it on that boy. God gave the very best that he had for you. You're here tonight and unsaved. Does God care? Oh, yes, God cares. You're here tonight, and if you would just simply yield to God, just give up and come. Come to the end of yourself and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What happens, Brother Sisson? God takes your sins and put them in the sea of forgiveness. He'll write your name down the Lamb's Book of Life, but then he'll clothe you with a spiritual garment. It's called imputed righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't do anything for it. It's a gift. Before we pray, and you'd say, Brother Sisson, boy, I sure would like to have that garment. Brother Sisson, I'd like to know that that garment covers my shame and covers my sin. Brother Sisson, you don't know what all I've done, but Brother Sisson, I sure would like to have peace with God. Would you let us pray for you? Anywhere in the building, anywhere, would you slip your hand up real high and then take it down? I'll be honest with you tonight. We that do have that best robe, it ought to stir inside of us to forgive each other and love each other. Not kill each other, but love each other. Lord, tonight we bow our heads. Lord, in my mind I can see that prodigal son coming back up that road. Lord, I can see, Lord, as the Bible says, the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Oh, God, blessed be your name. That night that, God, that you saved me and clothed me, would you, Lord, tonight do the same? There's probably people here tonight that's empty inside. Lord, there's that void, that vacuum. Lord, they've got everything covered. Would you, Lord, tonight strip away the pretense? And just simple childlike faith, would they come and trust the Lord Jesus? Lord, thank you for these young people. Lord, I pray for the high school. Lord, I pray for the juniors. Would you, Lord, please stir their hearts, God, to live for you, to show to a world what you've done for them. Bless this great church. Now, Lord, please speak to people's hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.